Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Well, we've had a couple of radio shows that last week were heavy. They were, but they were important. And I am hopeful that if you're like me, you took something from last week and you said, look, we gotta really take care of the young people in our community. We do. We talked on Thursday and Wednesday at great length about the death of Ezekiel Crowder, a Lakeridge High School football player, and how concerned you were and how concerned I am about young people amid a pandemic. And I urged people last week, because I literally felt helpless last week as we watched another casualty. I literally felt helpless to the point where I checked in with my own teenager multiple times, probably annoyed her. But I told her why over the weekend. I said, look, you know, you realize why I was checking in with you so often. You know, there was a student who took his own life last week. And I hope that maybe the takeaway that you took is that we have to do a better job taking care of each other. I don't ask you as an audience often enough how well you're doing. I spent a lot of time between Thursday and today asking people, how are you doing? How are you holding up? What's going on with you? And then being a journalist and asking the follow-up question when they say something. Like, because, you know, I know I'm guilty of it. Somebody asked me how I'm doing. I'm fine. You know, and I know a lot of other people would say that as well. I wanted to go a little step, maybe one step further. I wanted to bring on an advocate, a childhood advocate, somebody who works closely with schools and young people. Katie McPherson does that. She's based in the state of Arizona, but she reached out to me after the column that I wrote on Ezekiel Crowder, and I think she'd be an important resource to bring on the show, and I'm bringing her on now. Katie, thank you so much for making time for us.
Thanks so much for having me here today.
That story that, you know, I shared about Ezekiel Crowder, it's probably all too painful and all too familiar for you. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit of what you're seeing nationally with kids?
Yeah, I mean, we're in a public health crisis with students ranging from overstress to anxiety, depression, and self-harm, including suicide. So this has been on the uprise for 5 to 8 years, depending on the state you're in. But nationally, we're in a crisis.
How much, you know, when you look at sort of the contributing factors to that, you talk about anxiety, you talk about social pressures and depression and, you know, kids really struggling out there. Is it that we have shifted so much as a society? Is it social media? Is it a combination of things? How much does the pandemic play into it? I mean, we're all trying to figure it out, Katie.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of those things and then some, and each individual has their own journey, depending on environment they're living in, how supportive it is, if there's been trauma in the family. But just as a generational whole, Gen Z, which is this generation, has massive stressors that, you know, we haven't faced, whether it's social media. They were born into a post-Columbine school shooting generation. They've experienced 3 or 4 major school shootings. They have a constant stream of media at their fingertips. They have parents that are, you know, kind of fear-based, and their parents saying, like, you can't go outside or else you might get kidnapped. Like, there's a lot of fear coming from the adults. And then blob onto that, the cost of college, academic pressures, as well as athletic and friendship struggles. So it's just a lot. So they do have some things that you and I did not have.
Yeah, I remember getting a break from it, Katie. Like 3 o'clock would come, school would end, I'm off to sports practice. I get a break from it. Or my parents are picking me up. Social media is not following me home. I got a break from it. How much does that not having a break from it, you know, and having being so connected really sort of increase or ramp up that stress?
Again, it kind of depends on the kid, because I have supervised over 70,000 teenagers, and some do really well with it and can manage it. But there are others. I mean, the bottom line is, even for adults, we can't handle social media. And so the ethos of comparison of a young, underdeveloped brain looking at a photo of another person and comparing themselves to that person or to a group, or he has more athletic prowess than me, or he got the scholarship, or he got the touchdown, you know, whatever it is, it's just intense and pretty much 24/7, unless parents are really supervising and monitoring and making sure that kids are getting good sleep. If there's one thing I could encourage listeners to do with their kids, is these tweens and teens especially need 9 to 12 hours of sleep. And so the silver lining of the pandemic is that these teenagers are getting more sleep. And so prior to the pandemic, we were really concerned about the lack of sleep due to the academic and athletic pressures, as well as maybe having some of that anxiety and depression. And so sleep is crucial. It is a wellness factor. So I would really encourage people to think about that as far as student wellness as well.
Katie McPherson is our guest, childhood advocate, education consultant. You know, part of the problem, Katie, may be that I found, at least beginning last week, you know, as we were talking about the tragedy here in a local high school football player who passed away, is that we weren't all talking about the same thing. How do you get people to speak the same language when it comes to helping kids?
It's really about active listening and getting vulnerable. One of the things that stood out to me in your story and the continuous story of boys in particular is that it's still not cool to express yourself. And so we need male role models, adults and, you know, young adults in the university system to be role models for our younger students. For some, secrecy is about, you know, keeping secrets or not disclosing information about distress is a survival tactic. However, for some of them, that survival tactic of being secretive or not being open or able to express themselves could cost them their life. And so we need adult males to be role modeling, you know, and doing away with the man up, brush it off, carry it on. You know, these boys are in a tremendous amount of pain. And they want to tell their pain. They are confiding in each other. They are confiding in female students that they're friends with. But we haven't trained the kids on what is the difference between having a really bad day and the uptick or frequency of your friend saying, I don't want to be here anymore. And so when parents are listening to their students in their pain, you have to be really keyed into the language that they're using. Boys are very cryptic and insidious in off-the-cuff comments. They're sharing those things online. If there's another strategy I could give parents is everything you want to know is on your child's device. If you are not monitoring or supervising your child's device, there's no mystery to their life. And so there has to be equally a way for kids to express themselves, to trust the adults that know what to do with the information. But we also have to be monitoring and supervising the medium that they're spending most of their time on.
Katie McPherson is our guest. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. We had several of the calls on Thursday's show were from parents who had lost a child or people who had suffered with depression and mental health themselves. And one of the individuals brought up the fact that his 14-year-old daughter took her life several years ago. And to your point, he said, you know, he didn't really know what was going on until he, you know, really looked at her phone in the aftermath of it and realized how much pain she was in. And how do you handle that discussion, though, Katie? You work with parents and you work with kids. What is that discussion like, you know, when you're essentially going, hey, I need to invade your privacy, but it's for your own good?
So for me, it's more about I have a responsibility as your parent to protect you, not only from classmates and strangers and others, but really sometimes from yourself. And so there are some of these apps out here. I work for Bark, which is a parental intelligence app. It's not a parental control app. It basically just alerts you to behavioral insights like distress, sexting, drugs and alcohol, things like that. So it syncs with a parent phone. It can be a laptop, a video game, social media. And it only alerts the parents when there's something that probably needs to be intervened on. So it is not, you know, looking at every single thing the child says. It's only alerting parents to what they really want to know about. And it's an essential tool. I would highly encourage people to look at Bark or any other type of app like that. It does the work for you. As far as, you know, parents will say, well, I don't want to invade my child's privacy. You have to. We've given these devices over and given access to 4 billion strangers. And as evidence, as the man that called in said, if he had only known, if he had had an app like Bark, Bark would have alerted him to distress and he could have possibly intervened. And so we do in 2021 have these very inexpensive ways to have behavioral insights into our students' behavior.
Katie McPherson is a childhood advocate. Her website, katiemcpherson.com, if you want more information and learn more there. Katie, I had several people reach out last week who scolded me for writing about it and talking about it and said, you're going to encourage copycat suicides. Where do you stand on that? Because I felt that it was important to talk about it, important for parents to hear it. And my heart was broken. I don't have the solution, but I wanted to talk about it. How on guard do people need to be in the wake of something like this?
Well, first of all, I want to commend you for writing it. You wrote it in a very responsible and media ethical way. So, you know, suicide is a scary word, but there's a long runway to suicide. And students that are, or adults that are on that runway, they don't want to die. When you talk to people that have attempted suicide and have lived from the attempt, they say, I just wanted out of my pain. They don't, the suicidal brain is ambivalent about living or dying. And someone saying to them, are you going to harm yourself? Do you feel suicidal? Is actually what takes the brain out of that and tells the brain, I'm here for you, I'm listening, I see you, and I love you. And the problem with not writing about it and not talking about it is exactly what happened in your community last week. Is if you don't talk about it, a community that has had a suicide, specifically a youth suicide, is four times at risk to have another. There are at least 20 other kids in that high school that are teetering and ideating about suicide. And if the whole school is not triaged, you will have another one. That is a statistic that is proven and evidence-based in research.
I've got three daughters. I spent a lot of time in the last 72 hours or so saying, how are you doing? You know, tell me about, you know, how you're feeling about the pandemic and school and returning to school and the pressures. And what else can we do as we have those conversations, Katie? Because I think the default becomes I'm fine. And then we move on to something else.
Yeah, I think it is being an investigator and an observer. And sometimes that's silent and sometimes it is using, you know, those talks. It's 100 million talks. It's talking on your way to soccer practice. It's talking in the backyard. It's talking on a walk. It's talking when the lights are out and you're rubbing your child's back. It's not just sitting at the kitchen table and saying, how are you doing? And they say, I'm fine. I call the word fine the F word. It's like, it doesn't tell me anything about how you're actually doing. And so when I educate parents about how to think about kids' behavior, I point out to them, you're watching appetite, you're watching sleep patterns, you're watching friendships, you have a parental app giving you clues as to how the friendship group is doing. You're looking at, are they engaging in activities that they used to love? Are they isolating? Obviously, with the pandemic, it's been difficult because those behaviors have changed for some kids. And so I would say you're watching for nonverbals as well as verbals. You're listening to the language that has so much meaning. When a boy is like, oh, you know, I bet you wish I was dead when he gets in trouble, that could be a clue. That could be a red flag, or it could be just a bad day. If you hear that four times in a week, yeah, there's something going on and you better be paying attention. So I truly believe that language has meaning, and the more active listening you can do, the more clues you have about how your child's really doing.
Katie McPherson, our guest, she is a childhood advocate and has done a lot of work with parents, teachers, students over the years. You mentioned something earlier, sir, that I hadn't really thought too much about, was the pressure of college education, the rising cost, grades becoming an added emphasis. How do you prioritize getting good grades without creating unnecessary pressure, Katie?
You really have to get real as an adult. I call it the performance arms race. About 20 years ago, the college board, you know, started the testing, ACT, SAT, the price of college skyrocketed. You have to know your kid. If your kid is not a college-bound kid, get real with what kind of other pathways can they go to. If they're an athlete but they don't have the grades, perhaps they play 2 years at a community college and then transfer. I think, if anything, I'm hopeful that the pandemic will overhaul education, because truly when I look at least in my community here in Arizona, I've been to your community to speak, we have thoroughbreds. We have these kids that are rocking it athletically, rocking it academically, but inside they're crumbling. And when you look at Zeke Crowder is our candidate, the kid that everybody thought was so happy, who was crushing it on both of those things perhaps, also had some internal things going on that he was struggling with. And so what is our desired outcome? Is college it? Are you living vicariously through your student? What is the real deal? You have three kids, I have four. I have twins. One is probably going to go full ride without, you know, even trying. The other, I don't know. We really don't know. And so even within the same family, you have to be really realistic about how your child is wired and if college or university is really even a pathway.
Katie McPherson, hey, you're a rock star. I appreciate what you're doing out there. Is there a resource for parents, teachers, kids who want more of this?
Absolutely. I would advise them to look at AFSP, which is the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. On the front of digital wellness, I would advise them to find an app to monitor and supervise their students. If you go to bark.us, you can check us out there. You can put in Katie20 for 20% off. Really, you know, the key is looking at your kid in three different lanes every single morning and night. Are they in well-being? Are they in distress? Or are they in crisis? If your child's sitting in distress too long, there is a chance they'll move into crisis. Our goal is to put them back into that well-being category, knowing that they're going to have stress and distress. But our goal is every day and night, moving them as far back into well-being as we can.
Katie McPherson, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
There it is. I know. It's not sports. It's not Oregon State or Oregon. It's not UPPSU. It's not the Seahawks or the Blazers or the NFL. We're not talking about J.J. Watt here for a minute, but I feel like this radio show is a community. I know over the weekend that they held a memorial service for Ezekiel Crowder, and I know that the emails continue to come into my inbox. I'm nearing 1,000 emails since Wednesday of last week when we really started talking about what happened. Here's the other thing, too, that, you know, I had a couple of people reach out and say, hey, you shouldn't be writing about this. You shouldn't be talking about this. My child didn't know that Ezekiel Crowder took his own life. He learned it in your column. Here's what I'd say to that, and what I have said to it, is I think by not talking about it, and I have to give his family a huge amount of not just compassion, they lost a child, but respect as well, because they were forthcoming and allowing people to report it as it happened. A lot of times when there is a case of a suicide, people don't want to talk about it. They don't want it publicized. And I think it took an incredible amount of strength from his family, not just to get through that day in subsequent days and probably every day for the rest of their lives, but it also took strength to sort of be real and be authentic about what happened in this case and give people in your community and my community and our city and your school district, my school district, wherever you may be listening to this, an opportunity to hear the alarm bell go off. Like, I don't care if somebody tuned in here at 1 o'clock, heard us talking to an expert nationally on suicide prevention and childhood, you know, the pressures of childhood, and said, that's not what I came here for. I don't care if that person disappeared. I don't need everybody to listen to this show. But I want you to have the chance to hear what the experts have to say about it. I want you to have the opportunity to learn something, maybe turn to your kid, because for whatever we may lose in somebody going, you know what, I came here for sports radio and I'm not getting sports radio, I got news for you. What's far more important to me than that is making sure that your kids and my kids feel like they're valued and heard and safe, and feel that they're back in school and they feel healthy. Somebody else asked me over the weekend, they said, you know, I'm not sure why this one is getting so much more press and attention than maybe some other young people who have taken their lives over the years get in media coverage and discussion on the show. And I'll tell you what the difference is. It's Zico Crowder's family being willing to talk about it and being willing to say, this is a terrible thing that happened and we're heartbroken and I'm heartbroken for them. But allow the rest of us to sort of go, hey, there's something really scary that's going on with kids, and we all should be tuned into it. And I thought Thursday's radio show was 3 hours of people calling in and sharing their own experiences, and it was incredibly valuable. And I appreciate the audience for giving me the wide berth that you give me and allowing me to bring this stuff on a sports radio show. I think it's far more important than me sort of spinning in a circle talking about the Pac-12 or talking about J.J. Watt's decision to go to the Arizona Cardinals. I want you to leave it here. Punch It Audio is coming up. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Pac-12 football schedule coming out tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Tomorrow on the program, we'll talk to John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, about it. I want you to be here for that. Punch It Audio is coming up. Penny and Wes Lynn has called in. Penny, welcome to the show. Appreciate you making time.
You're very welcome. Just happened to turn your program on when you were having the discussion with the therapist a minute ago. I also happened to be listening on Friday and was particularly emotional. All four of my grandchildren go to or have graduated from Tualatin, so they're part of Three Rivers League, which Lake Ridge obviously is a part of. It seemed to hit a little closer to home than usual. I reached out to all four of my grandchildren. They're 23, 21, almost 18, and 17. My 18-year-old grandson is a senior this year, and he has really been struggling, and I've been really concerned about him. And I talked to him and had a nice conversation with him, and he texted me back how thankful he was that I did what I did. And I hope it made a difference in how he feels. But without listening to your program, I'm not sure that I would have done that. So thank you.
No, thank you for doing that. I got to ask you, when you go to tune in today, because I don't have this experience, I'm fascinated by this, Penny. You tune in, you probably think you're going to tune in and hear some sports, but right away you hear a childhood advocate talking. Is there any impulse for you to turn the radio off or change the channel? Or
absolutely not, John. I've been listening to your program for a long, long time. Some of my favorite spots are your Wednesday programs when you have doctors and therapists and stuff on like that. So I get enough sports from you and from TV, and I'm a Blazer fan and football fan, so this is so appropriate. You are doing absolutely the right thing.
Thank you, Penny. I appreciate you. I'm going to share a story here. It's kind of personal. But I can remember being a kid, and I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. But I can remember, and maybe those of you out there who are people of faith can remember that feeling of confusion and what am I going to be when I grow up? What am I going to do with my life? Like, I knew I liked to write. I knew I loved sports. I had no idea I could ever make a living being a sports writer and a radio show host. But one of the common themes that I had through college was I can remember in college, you know, when you're trying to figure out what you're going to do with the rest of your life, incredible amount of pressure. I can remember quietly thinking and praying and talking about, like, if I ever got in a position like this, that I would hope that God would put me in a position where he could use me. And I have to tell you, like, most days, I don't feel like we're doing much on this radio show other than probably trying to help people and provide a diversion and inform people and entertain people. And but there was something about Thursday's show last week that I left the show going, yeah, that's, I hope that show helped somebody, whether it was somebody who already lost a child, whether it was a parent who is, or a grandparent in the case of Penny who just called in, who reached out to a grandchild and just said, hey, I'm here for you, or I care about you. You know, just something. I left Thursday's show going, yeah, that's what I meant all those years ago. Like, you know, if I'm in that position and I could ever help somebody, I would. And John Strong, the voice of American Soccer on Friday, texted me. And he said, I know that you really feel like when you're helping people, you're doing your best. And to me, like, I left Thursday feeling like a little bit helpless, to be honest with you. But the best part of Thursday's show was that the audience and the community that this show is came together and talked to each other. And the power of that, like a parent who calls in, multiple parents called in on Thursday who had lost children and talked about the experience. And I got emails, you know, the emails came at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 1:54 in the morning. And it was from parents who obviously can't sleep, who had lost children. Today, I was supposed to post the Monday mailbag this morning. Every Monday, I do it on Oregon Live. I couldn't bring myself to post it this morning. I didn't know which letters to pick. And I said, you know what? I'm going to need more time with this. It's not going to go. It's not going to be a Monday thing. I want to publish them all. Like, I'm trying to pick 5 or 6 letters out of 1,000 emails that I got on the topic. Like, how do you pick the right ones? It's like, it's one of those circumstances where I'm like, you know, I got to think more about this. David's in Klamath Falls. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, first off, John, I just want to say that God smiles on what you're doing. And that's what I have to say, that on the spiritual note. Your motivation is exceptional, and I'm humbled by it. I've always been one, when I watch sports, listen to sports, it's been my escape. And I have a tough time when social problems take precedent over the latest scores.
Yeah.
The precedent that you set with dealing with the loss of this young man touched my heart, and good on you. And I just had a grandpa comment to make too, if I could. My grandfather passed away years ago. I'm 63 years old, and I'm a motorcycle enthusiast. And I took my first mini bike to his farm when I was about 6, 7 years old. And he asked if he could ride it, and I said sure. And he put it around on my little Honda 50, got this big old grin on his face, and came back and he said, you know, I haven't ridden one of those since the war. And when you say war to me, I think World War II. He was not talking about World War II. He was talking about World War I.
Wow.
The last time he was on a bike.
Wow. I love that. Thank you, David and Klamath Falls, for sharing that. You know, it's interesting because I thought about the football player at Lake Ridge. Would I have been talking about what happened if he weren't a football player? Probably not. Probably doesn't come across my radar. Probably I don't get the call on Wednesday night saying, hey, something terrible's happened earlier in the week. You might want to look at it. I don't start making calls. I don't start talking to coaches. I'm just grateful that people are willing to talk about this stuff. And, you know, this show, it's not perfect. We're not always going to get it right. We're not. Like, a lot of, there's some days I leave and I go, gosh, we didn't do this right. Or, you know, I wish I had another shot at it. But I felt like Thursday's show was incredibly powerful. And on Friday, I got to be honest, on Friday, I needed a break from sort of the heaviness of it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it for another 24 hours. And I felt like maybe the audience needed it too. And I thought Friday's show was really fun and jovial. Today, you know, I don't know. I guess I wanted to close the loop on
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.